The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 22nd day, right? Yep, 22nd day of May 2023. And tonight,
23rd.
Is the 23rd? All right, that's right, it's the 23rd. Very good. Now, didn't I just ask you a while ago about that? But anyhow, there you go. We have tonight our producer for a while is none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, young fellow. And, of course, that fellow that corrected me, that's the legendary Pastor Joe Parson Larson.
I don't get to correct you very often. It's very seldom that happens, so I'll take it.
Well, I just do that to make you feel good.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll take it anyway.
Anyhow, let's pick it up where we left off. Remember the title of the message was?
The Pulpit is Responsible for It.
And we let off with six different things that, or actually seven different things that Charles Finney said the pulpit is responsible for. And so let's pick it up
and
where we left off.
And they're all happening right now.
Boy, you're not kidding. More now, more than ever, huh?
Yes, now more than ever.
Well, let's pick it up.
If he thought it was bad then, he should see it today.
Yeah, I can tell you, he would not be very happy with the college that he started, Oberlin, today. Not at all.
I think he'd be in tears.
Yeah, he would probably burn the place down if he saw it, okay? But let's pick it up. Let's go verse by verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, okay?
All right. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Okay, so he was an elder, and when we talk about elders, and we talk about pastors, we talk about bishops, we talk about presbyters. Now, here, are they all the same office, Joe?
Yeah, well, yes it is, because back then, remember, an elder were the men who in Israel ruled the church. So, in a sense, they used the word elder, and it was later pastors, those who were, you know, ordained to minister the gospel. It's the same term, same person.
So, Peter said he was an elder. Now, could you be an elder, a pastor, a bishop, and a presbytery? Could one man be all four?
Well, they're the same thing.
Well, there is, but the different words
there
have...
There is a difference because there are church elders that are not pastors.
Right. So there are different words there. when you take a really look at it, in that day, the admonition here, it, you know, confirms the implication that the offices of the elder, the pastor, the bishop, the presbyter are synonymous, Joe, in effect, all being centered, well, actually, in the same manner or men. Elder implies maturity. Pastor implies teaching the word. Bishop implies oversight of administratively. And so, in other words, it's basically a characteristic of the pastor of the church there. So,
right.
But now, how is that different today? Because today is in a lot of ways, and not, they're not all the same, but today...
Well, today, pastors have help. They have elders in the church. They usually have a board that help in running the church and handling finances and various other problems. And so the pastor has other people to help teach Bible study, and he's got more help than he did back then.
So today, though, when you notice when a pastor takes the title of bishop instead of pastor, when he's referred to as bishop, today, in many cases, that means that he has authority over not just one congregation or assembly, but several assemblies within their denomination. What's
right.
wrong with that?
Well, because that wasn't the way Christ set up the church. Each church was standalone. They were, what's the word, autonomous. They were to be self-governing body under one pastor.
Okay, so in other words here, are denominations, is that biblical? Is that part?
It's men. It's dogma, not doctrine.
What is a denomination?
A denomination is a creation of man because somebody started moving away from the doctrine once delivered to the saints in Scripture, and they started arguing over what it was, what it meant.
So if you come up with a seat between the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, the government of the church is simple. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. Underneath him is the pastor of the local church. And then you have elders and deacons and then the congregation. Not complicated, very simple. But whenever you insert someone between the Lord Jesus Christ and the pastor of the local church, you end up with a denomination like a presbytery or like a synod, or like a Vatican, or like an assembly. Whenever you have these things are not biblical at all, are they?
No, they're not. They're found nowhere in Scripture.
Okay, so go ahead and read verse 2.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind.
Okay, so here now, when you're talking about not by constraint, in other words, you feed the flock on what? The Word of God, right?
Right.
Okay, so explaining...
You oversee the flock. You're the overseer of the flock. It's your job to protect them, to warn them.
So does the overseer... Overseer is his duty also to express to the congregation or the assembly how the Word of God applies today to their lives in current events?
Yes. You're supposed to bring the gospel to life, not, you know, it's a living gospel, and you're supposed to make it relevant to what is happening. And they were to do the same thing then.
So when it says here, not by constraint. In other words, so if we're told we should tone it down, don't use such inflammatory rhetoric. I mean, don't use the word murder for abortion. Don't use that word for abortion. Don't use the
right.
word.
Don't use sodomite for, you know, gays.
Right. And so are we to comply with that, or are we to say no without no constraint at all?
Right. We will not be constrained by the world. We are constrained only by the gospel of Christ.
Okay, now.
And the Lord that gave us his gospel, right?
I actually had a fellow come to me some years ago, and I think you remember when this happened. He was one of the Prosperity Word of Faith teachers. And he actually came to me and asked me to join in with him to be like a partner with him in fleecing the flock. Okay? Now,
because you were building a large, you know, audience per se, a large following, and he thought it would go well, right?
Right. Well,
he didn't know you very well.
No, he didn't, but he not only that, but he tried to justify it and says, look, you know, the Word of God doesn't return void. As long as they believe, if they're giving their money, as long as they believe they're doing a good thing, God will bless them for it. As long as they believe they're doing the right thing, God will bless them for it. And you and I, we can live high on the hog. I physically
we
threw
can
this.
We live sumptuously,
yeah.
Someone would have once said, right?
Yeah. Reverend Ike.
Reverend,
I used to sit, and I used to laugh my head off because people would fall for this stuff, right? He'd tell you he didn't want to hear no change hit that plate, right? that offering plate. And when he used to say, he used to tell the people, and I would think about this, you know, today with the prosperity preachers of today, but Ike, I mean, he was out there. He would say, I will live sumptuously, not for me, no. If I have a yacht, if I have a Learjet, if I do these things, it's not for me. I'll do it for you. Not everybody can live sumptuously, but I'll do it for you. I'll live sumptuously. I'll live the good life for you. And people would say, do it for me, Reverend Ike. Do it for me. You know, in other words, and I couldn't believe it, the people would fall for this stuff, but they did. And today...
they did.
They're still falling for it today.
They do it. You know, way back we did the celebrity worship syndrome. Many, many years ago they came up with it, where people were spending their time, their talent, their treasure in worshiping, following celebrities. They would buy anything the celebrity said. They would buy souvenirs or whatever. They took their vacation and Elvis Land, whatever it's called, Graceland.
Graceland, yeah.
And it should have been, this is how we should be treating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be giving him our time, our talent, our treasures, and worship him. But it was a huge amount of Western civilization, about half of it, was worshiping celebrities. And one of the things they said is a lot of these people were living vicariously through, whether the person was an actor, a singer, a model, they were living a life through these people that they would never have. So Reverend Ike was kind of playing on that. You can live vicariously through me. Only he threw a religious twitch in there and made real blasphemy out of the gospel, but that's all it was.
One of the other things...
people's weakness. Yeah,
I just remembered one of the other things he would say is, you take a handful of dollars, take a handful, and you throw that up in the air. Whatever stays up there goes to God. Whatever comes down goes to me.
He was actually, you know, like you said, people believed it, listened to him. That's the amazing thing, that, you know, if I went out and tried something like that, I couldn't find one friend, that one person I know would buy that in a heartbeat. Of course, I guess I'm careful who I pick for friends.
I don't know. It seems to it works for others today. I mean, it works for Joe Osteen. It works for T.D. Jakes. It works for Kenneth Copeland. I mean, they come up with some good ones. But no one could top River Knight. Anyhow, so when you look at this, he goes on, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. What is What does that mean? Some years ago, Joe, I had a friend. It was a good friend of mine. He was sat on different boards with me. He was a pastor. And two of his people came into our business when I used to have the furniture business there, too. And they came in, and I asked them. I was trying to find help to go out on the streets with me in front of the abortion mills back in those days. And so I would, you know, I would try to recruit people, and they came in, and I found out they went to his church, and I said, hey, listen, you know, I could use some help. You're a young couple. You don't have any children, and can you give me some time? Help me out there on the street, save some babies. And they said, well, we'll ask our pastor about that.
Well, ask our pastor?
Yeah, and I said, well, you don't have to. First of all, he's very pro-life. And they said, well, we don't ever do anything without asking pastor. I says, what do you mean? They said, well, we bought a house. But we waited until our pastor, we let him until he approved it, and we bought the house he approved of. He says, we're going to buy a car. When we buy the car, we have to get the pastor's permission to buy the kind of car he wants us to have. And I'm thinking, wait, and you know what else? And they said, when he's ready, we want to have children. When the pastor tells us it's the right time. What's the problem with that, Joe?
God told the people when to have children. I mean, this is God's purview. And God made us also independent with our own, you know.
Well, you've got areas of authority. You've got areas right. of authority. And
that's not one he gave a pastor.
No, so that's not one of pastor's areas of authority, okay? That authority belongs to, as far as the purchases and that, the husband is the head of the house, isn't he?
Yes.
So the husband is the authority.
He answers to God that he's the head of the household responsible for decisions.
So he makes the final decision, but when you're buying a house, isn't that something that you and your wife really should discuss?
It sure is, because you're the one paying for it. You're the one that's living in it, whether it suits, you know, enough room for the children you have or whatever. But I'm looking right there at that verse number 3. We're not to be lords over the people, but we're to be an example to the flock. Jesus was a perfect example. He didn't lord it over people. He, you know, treated them with respect. He told them the truth, but he was gentle and meek. And he got mad at his enemies. He, you know, the money changers in the temple, people like that. But with the people, he told them to follow his example.
Right.
He came here to show us how to live, not lord it over us.
Well, you know, you see now, there's difference there with the Lord Jesus, because he does have the ultimate authority. And so we would say that is, you know, he's on a different level. But for the pastors are not to get out of their lane, are they? They're to stay with the authority. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and read me verse 7 and then 17.
Hebrews 13, chapter verse 7?
Right.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
So now, that is talking about the pastor's area of authority, huh? Now, who does that apply to?
That applies to the pastor's flock.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If the president is a Christian, or the governor is a Christian, or the senator is a Christian, does that apply to him? Does he say, what saith the Lord God? Does he go to the pastor like King David did, and like, well, like all of the kings of old Solomon, and say, "What saith the Lord God?" Even Ahab did, and yeah. Even though Ahab didn't seem to want to listen much, but
he did ask.
So now, does not even the king, the president, whoever, are they not supposed to go to the man of God and say, "What saith the Lord God?" and take that information?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jesus made it very, the scripture makes it very clear that he said the king was to write what? The words. Excuse me a minute.
He was to write the book of the law. Yeah.
The book of the law in his own hand and use it to rule, rehearse it daily, and he was to live by it.
Right.
And, he was to, the God was over him. With the, the man is over the wife, the church is over, Christ is over the man. And Christ is over all the kings of the earth. They are to obey his will.
Absolutely. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves. Let me go back to verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So that chief shepherd is actually the Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ, yeah.
Likewise.
There is no other chief shepherd.
Younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You of all subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, the church I pastor now, and the last church I pastored, well, two of them, I was pastoring at the same time, I can honestly say that they're like a family. And, Joe, how wonderful it would be if our biological family, if our biological siblings and aunts and uncles and relatives, if they could all be a part of our church family, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
It sure would, especially that, well, the church is supposed to be the living body. We are what God said, we're lively stones built upon the cornerstone of Christ, and so we living stones build a living church that worships a living God. So we're in a way all brothers and sisters, we're all family, those of us that are born again believers, and we should live that way.
He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt yourself in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, today more than ever, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, what's happening? You've got this depopulation movement. You've got the Democrats. You've got the government fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS. What they're doing is they're pushing for depopulation. And so the very persecution, the very depopulation they want for us, Joe, that's going to come back on them, isn't it?
So much is going to come back on them, yes.
He says here, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, and they're in the world. We're, in other words, we are to be in it, but not of it. But they're basically of the world too, aren't they?
They are of the world, and as I've been looking at stuff, I see the Satan after school group clubs forming across the country. I see more designers using satanic symbols and claiming to be part of the Church of Satan. I see more devil worship, more evil around the world. It's just spreading like wildfire.
It looks like Target has enlisted the Satanists, and boy, it's costing Target. We'll be back right after this.
Yep.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
All righty, we are back. And, Joe, you know, where our church used to be, where I live, used to be a lot more like where you live, out, way out, all country, all farmland. But, well, that's changing.
Right.
That's changing because they're building little shopping centers and everything around. But it's still, we're still in the country. We're still not suburbs yet. We're still more countryside. And here, for this Memorial Day, this coming Monday, the American Legion Post 663 is to officiate Newberry Township Memorial Day activities. Itinerary for the Memorial Day activities follows below. Now, the reason I'm doing this is, and I know we're national, but this is local. Here in Ohio, our program gets played four times a day, and here it'll reach a lot of people locally, but And boy, we have a lot of listeners locally. But participants will be the American Legion Post 663, the Newberry Fire, Volunteer Fire Department. You know, all the local businesses, you know, the mom and pop guys, they're going to be there. And, of course, the churches will be there. And this Memorial Day, and I'll be preaching a Memorial Day message, Lord's willing. And I would imagine you will, too. But at 8 a.m., the Post Everlasting Service will be held at 11008 Kinsman Road. That's Route 87 in Newberry. At 9:30, the South Newberry Cemetery, there's going to be a service held there. That's right there on State Route 44. And then at at 10 o'clock, the Munn Cemetery service, another cemetery there. They usually have the salute, and they do the service. Now, at 12 o'clock, Joe, I will be speaking. They've asked me to come and speak at the Newberry Veterans Park service at the corner of Kinsman and Auburn Road. That's Route 87 and Auburn Road there in Newberry. And 12:30, the parade to Center Cemetery, from Oberlin Park to Center Cemetery. And at 1 o'clock, Center Cemetery next to Newberry Town Hall. There you go. That's the activities for our great Newberry. Newberry's just a little township. It's just a little burg. But it's got some very, very good people and a lot of patriots, Joe. A lot of patriots in our area.
So. That's great, because we owe so much to those. America's very best are the ones that we will be honoring on Memorial Day, the ones that were willing to give their life for America, for freedom.
Well, it goes back much farther than that, Joe. We're going to go back and the message. We talk about who was the one who sacrificed the most. Of course, our Lord is the one we remember.
Captain, but we had the host of the Lord's army, the greatest military man in the world.
And then Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. And then if we go to the founding fathers, you know, they took their message after the heroes of the faith, didn't they?
They sure did. They quoted scripture. America was built. The Bible was the founding document of America.
Amen. All right, we've got some.
That song you played, you know.
Heaven's Under Siege.
Yep. I was just looking at a couple headlines. Biden claims not having X-rated books, you know, for preschoolers, for young school children, is a civil rights violation. United States, using your taxpayer money, $41 million, is going to a George Soros organization group to help illegals avoid deportation. $41 million, your tax money, goes to a group that's started and supported by George Soros to help illegals avoid being deported. Then, FBI, spying on U.S. citizens, found out that they spied on 278,000 American citizens in the past few years. Oh, it was just a misunderstanding between the FBI and the Department of Justice on those silly little FISA 702 database. Yeah, they spied on almost 300,000 American citizens. It was a misunderstanding, folks. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things happening.
Government...
And Chris Wray refuses to turn over the documents that they have on all absolute proof of the Biden crime family. Now, that's treason.
That's
Chris
treason.
Chris Wray is committing high treason. And so now there are some ways that they can go. I know. You say, what can he do? Because we have no Justice Department. It's simply a part of the Communist Party. There are some things they can do. We'll be hearing more about that, I think, in the near future. But there's ways to bring Chris Wray. Now, one of the things that's happening out there, Joe, is you're wondering, why in the world are they making such a big deal out of this debt? The budget, you know, the debt ceiling and this and that, you know, all the theatrics that you're hearing out there. Well, a lot of it is to keep the attention off the hearings, the congressional hearings that's taking place. The whistleblowers out there are really dropping some big dimes, and the Democrats are scared. They are scared, and I've been watching some of them. You have people out there. You've got that one very, very, very wicked congresswoman who literally ran up and threw a handful of papers right in the face of Jim Jordan as he's conducting You know, just unbelievable. I'm trying to think of what her name was offhand. I'm trying to remember, but
can't remember which one. But they've all been just, you know, when they can't argue facts, they scream, they yell, they pound the table, they threaten, and they scream racist, sexist, homophobic. You know, and they start down the litany of all those terms that they use because they can't back up. But you're right; they are very much worried. And this whole thing is America is not going to default. What they have to do is prioritize. There's money coming in.
Stacey Plackett. Stacey Plackett, Joe. That was her name. Congressman.
Oh, okay.
She, you know, this woman is a real wicked. I mean, she is an extremely wicked, a hardcore.
Well, look at the lift. There's so many of those. How many of those women in the Democrat Party that are in Congress are witches? I mean, they're loud, they're crude, they're rude. Even Maxine Waters, these are just evil, wicked, mouthy, vile people.
Vulgar. Their language. Their language. I know I've heard them speak before, and you know, even off camera, their language is filthy, just filthy. Well,
all the time.
Like the so-called View, I hear people call them the ladies of the View, and so when someone says that around me, the lady, I'll say, you mean those saintly women, right? Those saintly women. Well, no, I wouldn't say that. And then why are you calling them ladies? They're not ladies, are they?
Well, they're bought and paid for whores.
Yeah. Well,
that's what Scripture calls them.
Yeah. Calls them unclean, doesn't it?
Unclean.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got some good news. I think the Calvary may be coming. Talking to a couple of friends today. They listen to different places. Different pastors are starting to speak up. They mentioned a couple names that, hey, this person hadn't, David Jeremiah, a couple people are starting to speak up. And the big news that broke tonight, Franklin Graham was speaking at a Christian media convention. And he started out and he said this, there's a storm coming and we've got to be prepared. Every demon from hell has been turned loose in our culture today. The world has deteriorated so quickly. We cannot be deceived. We cannot be fooled. We need to get ready and be prepared. And he goes on and talking about who owns the data cloud, Amazon. We're living in a canceled culture. The big corporations want to destroy Christian organizations. They want to shut our mouths. They don't want to hear from us. He went on about, if you're going to try to proclaim the gospel, they're going to try to shut you up. You and I have never noticed that, other than the past, 15 years. And he continued, and he talked about, we've got to don't apologize for the gospel. Declare it. Preach it. Jesus' followers feared for their lives. In those moments, they felt they had no way out. And he said about, the culture. I love the culture enough, the LGBTQ, to warn them that their way of life is sin and the wages, of course, are death. So tell it the way it is. Preach. Don't back up. Don't make excuses. We cannot back up. We can't retreat. Don't apologize. And I thought, boy, finally, maybe the Calvary's coming. We've been kind of out there. There's been a few others, but there haven't been many of us out there that were bold, and I think maybe things got bad enough that some of the Calvary may be coming a little late, but
what if, Joe, what if they say something like, we should run to the battle?
Or fight the good fight, huh?
How about this? Three missions. What if they start talking about the three missions that the Lord gives us, right?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. A while back, I was asked to come to an event that, like a big rally that took place on the other end of the state for this church. And I went there myself and one of my deacons and another pastor, Hal. And anyhow, there was more of a charismatic. There were more charismatic type people there, and I had to laugh because I was asked to come and speak, and I did. I said a few things. But here's the funny part. These young pastors, there were a number of young pastors there, and they had discovered this thing about the 501c3.
And wow.
They discovered that this was not a good thing. It was a bad thing, you know. And they were saying how we've got to get rid of this 501c3. And they're going on and on, like this is something brand spanking new. And one of the fellows that has a national ministry, Coach Dave, you know him.
Yep, Coach Dave Dudmar, yep.
He stood up and he pointed to me and he said, "That man over there has been preaching that for 50 years." He said, but you're right. There's starting to be an awakening. That's what I was saying. Like I told you yesterday, I had that Liberty Council, Liberty. Anyhow, there are a group of pastors. They're claiming to be about 500 pastors now that have joined, but they asked me, in fact, we gave them some airtime about a year ago, but they asked me if I would come to their conference and going through a training session. They were going to train me to do what we've been doing for decades.
We're going to train.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to, yeah.
And so anyhow, I mean, it's sometimes, I know it's you know, you just wonder, all those years you're preaching this, and it seems to fall on deaf ears, but now it seems like they're starting to hear it. It's like late. We've been trying to tell people years ago, folks, you got to, you know, all the way back when they expelled God from the public school system, we tried to tell you. In 73, we tried to get pastors together to march on Washington, D.C. They should have marched on Washington, D.C. There should have been thousands of pastors. Put that court on trial for treason against God and country. The pastors had the obligation to do that. And they failed God and they failed the country. And since, because they failed, because they didn't have the courage, and I remember one of the older pastors who I always had a lot of respect for, but I was taken back when they said, a couple of them came to me and said, "If you continue preaching the way you're preaching, you're going to bring the government down on all of us." Well, I wanted to do that. I wanted to see if that would cause them to stand up like men and fight. And so,
no, because if they were afraid of it, they were not going to stand up and fight if it happened. If they're trying to avoid it, what is it? A coward dies a thousand deaths, a brave man only once.
Yep.
I don't have it perfect, but that's the gist of it.
All right, let's do some lightning rounds. We got some things here. Do you know what's going on over there at Fox News, Joe? A mind-blowing leaked policy exposes Fox News. Remember, we've been adding Fox News because you have a number of people there that you had a bunch of hardcore anti-Trumpers, the mm-hmm. ones who tried to tell us that there was no election fraud, like Brett Baer.
Right.
No, anyhow,
no trouble, nothing to see here, folks. Move on.
Fox News employees, and this is an article by Mary Margaret Olihan. Fox News employees are allowed to use bathrooms that align with their gender identity rather than their biological sex, and permitted to dress in alignment with their preferred gender. Joe, this is unbelievable. They must also be addressed by their preferred name and pronouns in the workplace. You know, I would leave that place in a heartbeat. I'd say, I'm better than that. I am better than to work in a place like this that has been reduced to sleaze. I could never work at Fox News. Of course, they would probably never ask me, but...
I don't think either one of us would be welcome there now.
So, yeah, they go on to say these are just a few of the policies outlined in the company's handbook, dated January 2021, a copy of which was shared with the Daily Signal. Fox also offers to help employees come up with a workplace transition plan to ease their gender transition at work. Well, there you go, folks. Everybody knows. You know, Fox News... You go woke, you go broke, right?
Hey, I'll tell you, let me back that up. Bud Light is buying back all the unsold expired beer from wholesalers as sales continue to plummet. They're having to buy it back because they can't sell it. It's running out of the due date, and they're having to buy it all back. And Target... We brought that up last night about how Target had all these weird, they had a Satanist designing clothing and different things for sale. Headlines tonight, Target holds emergency meeting over LGBTQ merchandise in stores to avoid the Bud Light situation. They called some of their stores. They had this massive Jude Pride Month display up front, you know, the tuck-friendly bathing suit and the gender fluid coffee mugs and all this crap. Get it in the back of the store. Get it away from the front. You've got 36 hours to take all your Pride stuff and move it to a section that's a third the size from the front of the store to the back of the store, etc., etc., etc. They're panicking because they don't want to have the Bud Light happen to them.
Yeah, but did you hear what's happening at Walmart? Bud Light,
no.
Bush, Anheuser-Busch asked Walmart to move the Bud and the Bud Light, or, and well, it's the Budweiser beers, not just Bud Light, but all their beers, to the front of the stores, to the front.
Oh.
So when you walk in, the first thing you see. So they showed in the different stores how they had them stacked up there. And not one case was taken, not a six-pack taken. They were just sitting there. Nobody would touch them.
Well, I know one thing. Our local Walmart store did not do that at all, period. They just didn't do it.
Yeah. I don't know about... This is what I saw on the Internet. I didn't go around looking. And I don't go to Walmart. So.
Well, we've got one in town, and a lot I know... dozens of people that work there. It's the only, it's a small town, and it's all, you know, pretty much there's only a couple of businesses, so you know the local people. But I saw this cute little ad. Everything you wanted in a beer executive and less. Much, much, much less. Bud Light. I thought it was clever. But people are waking up. And but I've got some warning for people. I don't know if you've heard yet. It hasn't been really, I don't think, broken. The Saudi Arabia is, and a handful of other countries, stunned the world Sunday. They're cutting their oil production by more than 1 million barrels a day and caught everybody by surprise, they say. Different people, massive surprise to the market. Well, what's interesting, just the other day, Joe Biden, we're going to refill the strategic petroleum reserve that he emptied so the gas prices wouldn't go too high, so he wouldn't look bad, and now he's got to buy it. And, well, what's happening, as of course you know, as they cut the cost, cut the volume of oil, the price of oil goes up. When the price of oil goes up, the price of gas goes up, and inflation will increase, and we're going to be filling our strategic petroleum reserve now with, it jumped up $5 in one day from to $85 a barrel in one day, and of course that means they see the higher prices lasting completely through the end of the year because...
Yeah, Job, I think it was Trump filled that, and I believe it was $24 a barrel.
Yeah, they actually tried to stop him from filling it at $24 a barrel, remember?
Yeah,
the Democrats
wanted
to do that.
Yeah, And so, but he did, and here now, yeah, again, the idea is, look, the Deathocrats, the globalists, think that they have the right to tell us and control us, control where we can travel, how much we can drive, what we can afford, where we can live. You know, that's the whole point, the Deathocratic Communist Party. Not only are they, do they love death, they hate God and they love death, but they're control freaks. They want to be able to control every aspect of all of us, okay? And so that's the whole point. Just like Biden has decided that you shouldn't have gas ovens at home, or you shouldn't have micro
heat.
Right.
Yeah. Washer, dryers, all kinds of things, right?
Right. Not only that, but even worse than that, he has decided now that there's too much prayer in the public schools. That they have prayer meetings and Bible clubs, and that they've got to stop. There's too much prayer going on in the public schools. Okay, so he wants that stopped. Well, let me tell you, if people aren't pulling their children out of the public schools fast enough now, you know, and we're encouraging them to get their children out of there as quickly as possible, get them in a private school, Christian school.
I've got a stack of stuff, Pastor. We could spend two total shows on all the weird stuff going on in the schools. There are more and more female I've got about six or seven stories of teachers. One was the Teacher of the Year in 2017 or 18, young mother with two children of her own having sex with young boys now. And I mean, things are going crazy in the classroom. But I want to do a Paul Harvey real quick before we get too far. I was just talking about the Saudis cutting oil. The rest of the story, like Paul Harvey would do, is the fact that the oil companies have been buying Russian oil and using Russian oil so they can sell more of their own oil at higher prices. They were buying the cheap Russian oil and selling it. So we've been paying higher oil prices because of Biden's embargo on Russian oil, so the Saudis and other countries bought it at low price, sold it for a higher price, and of course the only person that it hurt was America.
Well, Joe,
just another way that the stupid government is there every way possible. Joe Biden is trying to destroy your life, hurt you, make you pay, make you poor.
You're absolutely right. He is purposely trying to destroy America. He's doing it on the orders of his Chinese communist rulers, okay? He's doing everything. Yeah. Well, the Chinese Communist Party owns Biden, and they've said that. They've said that. And this is one of the things, if they get a hold of that folder that Chris Ray refuses to give up, all of that information is in there. And so, but anyhow, we're coming up to a hard break. Once we get back from the hard break, boy, we have a lot of stuff to do tonight. So we gotta do some lightning rounds, get through this, and open the phone lines and take some calls. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All righty. Well, we'll be right back after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come tonight, so be right back after this.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see. You've applied for our open position for account representative? Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschutz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.